जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदनन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यशोदनन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदनन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यशोदनन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यशोदनन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यशोदानन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यशोदानन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यशोदानन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यशोदानन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीर वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सृष्टि डिवाइन ग्रेस ऑफ चरण अरविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी जगद्गुरु श्रील प्रभुपाद की जाय अनंत कोटि वैष्णवृंद की जाय नमाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की जाय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जाय ऑल ग्लोरियस असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 4 एंटाइटल्ड द इनकार्नेशंस ऑफ गॉडहेड टेक्स्ट नंबर 7 इंद्रो विशंक्य मम धामा जिग्रिक्षतीति कामां न्यायंकुट सगणां स बद्री उपाख्यां गत्वाप्सरो गणा वसंत सुमंद पाते स्त्री प्रेक्षा प्रेक्षाने सुभीर अविद्याद अतान महिज्ञा इंद्रो विशंक्य मम धामा जिग्रिक्षतीति कामां न्यायंक्ता सगणां स बदरी उपाख्यम गत्वाप्सरो गणा वसंत सुमंद वाते स्त्री प्रेक्षा नु सुभीर अविद्यात अतान महिग्ना इंद्रो विशंक्य मम धाम जिग्रिक्षतीति कामां नियोंक्ता सगणां स बद्री उपाख्यम गत्वाप्सरो गणा वसंत सुमंद वाते स्त्री प्रेक्षा निसुभीर अविद्यात अतांग महिग्ना इंद्रो विसंख्य मम धामा जिक्रिक्षतीति कामा नियोंक्ता सगणां स बदरी उपाख्यम गत्वाप्सरो गणा वसंत सुमंद वाते स्त्री प्रेक्षा निसुभीर अविद्यात अतांग महिग्ना
Thank you.
ladies. Indra, Lord Indra, Vishankya, fearing, Mama, my, Dham, kingdom, Jigrikshati, he wants to devour, Iti, thinking thus, Kamam, Cupid, Nyayungta, be engaged, Saganan, by with his associates, Saha, he, Cupid, Badari Upakhyam, to the ashram named Badrika, Gatva, going, Apsaragana, with the Himalaya Society girls, Vasanta, the spring season, Sumanda Vatae, and the gentle breezes, Stri Prekshana, consisting of the glances of women, Ishubhi, with his arrows, Avidhyat, attempted to pierce, Atamahigna, not knowing his greatness. Translation and Prabhupada by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Prabhupada. King Indra became fearful, thinking that Naranarayan Rishi would become very powerful by his severe penances and seize Indra's heavenly kingdom. Thus Indra, not knowing the transcendental glories of the incarnation of the Lord, sent Cupid and his associates to the Lord's residence in Badrikashram. As the charming breezes of spring created a most sensuous atmosphere, Cupid himself attacked the Lord with arrows in the form of the irresistible glances of beautiful women. Purport. This verse and the following 9 verses illustrate the personality of Godhead's opulence of supreme renunciation. The word Atan Mahigna, not understanding the glories of the Lord, indicate that King Indra was placing the personality of Godhead on the same level as he himself, considering the Lord an ordinary enjoyer who would be attracted by mundane sex life. Indra's plot to cause the fall down of Naranarayana Rishi could not affect the Lord, but it reveals the short-sightedness of Indra himself. Because Indra is attracted to his heavenly kingdom, he took it for granted the Supreme Lord was performing austerities to acquire such flickering phantasmagoria as the kingdom of heaven. Tadashpur Akasha Pushpayate.
Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Shahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगतपते गोपेशा गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एवच पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
It's a very interesting story, very popular as well, teaching us vital lessons, especially about the Lord's supreme dominion over material nature and His infallibility. Krishna is called as Achyuta, and we are called as Chyuta. That means we fall down, we have tendency to fall down, we are fallen, whatever word suits us. But we are in that category of either fallen or about to fall or tendency to fall, etc. Right? And the Lord has none of these tendencies and He's never fallen. He's always gunatita, beyond. The word is highlighted in the purport is atan mahigna, not understanding the glories of the Lord. This is what the Srimad Bhagavatam is actually meant for, to make us understand the glories of the Lord. That is the primary and singular purpose, to glorify the Lord and glorify those devotees who have understood the Lord, into whatever extent they have understood. But to understand the Lord through those devotees who have understood the Lord, that is the singular purpose of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So how does a practicing sadhaka like ourselves evolve in our understanding of the Lord also? It appears, there's a story that comes to my mind. Srila Radhanath Maharaj was speaking at an academic environment in a college and talking about the principles of Krishna consciousness. And at that time, after the lecture was over, it was well received, well appreciated by many people. And then one professor, doctor, PhD, he came up to him and said, "Why do you worship Krishna?" He was not asking very humbly. He was asking challengingly. "Why do you worship of all the gods which are there? Why do you worship only Krishna?" And he went on to explain why Krishna was not worthy of being worshipped. So do you know this Krishna? He is such a debauchee. He is such a person who actually is always connected, dances with other people's wives, dead of night. He is very immoral in his behavior. And why would a person like you worship an immoral God? What sense does it make? And he was going on challenging like this. Maharaj was hearing him for a while, but then it was an open invitation for, no Vaishnava will ever stand quiet when his Lord is being blasphemed like this. So then Maharaj asked him a simple question to bring him to the level he needed to be at. He said, "Please tell me one thing. How did you start your education? Did you start with PhD? Or did you start with kindergarten?" He said, "No, started with kindergarten." I said, "Yes, we should all start our education with kindergarten." "Did you read the Bhagavad Gita?" He said, "No." not the Bhagavad.
Said, I have done my PhD in Gita Govinda. Gita Govinda, as we know, is the most exalted scripture written by Jayadev Goswami. So pure, so exalted, so esoterically special that Mahaprabhu only would hear Jayadev Goswami's narrations of the Gita Govinda, about others like Chandidas and Vidyapati. And it is something so very confidential. He said, you have not read the Bhagavad Gita. So you don't even know what Krishna is. What is his actual position? What is his actual glory? What is the actual personality of Krishna? If you don't know even that, you have no adhikar, no right to go into a topic which is PhD. And because you're going to do PhD directly, this is why you are speaking like this. And therefore he smashed, and not only smashed him and defeated him, but even educated him as to why, what was a major flaw in his approaching Krishna. So he was what we call as Atan Mahik Gna. He was not understanding the glories of the Lord properly. Want to talk of an ordinary speculative philosopher of this type, of this world, who just does some PhD in a particular section of you know, Hindu psychology or Hindu theology or whatever. But even somebody as powerful as Indra, who is quadrillion times more brilliant than this scholar, can even make this very, very serious mistake. Right? Therefore it appears, and it should make us very sober, that Krishna must be a difficult subject to understand. And even though we are the students of the school of bhakti, we need to be sure to understand that we do not understand much of God at all. There is an evolutionary process which may be necessary for systematic students. And therefore Prabhupada has given us first the Gita. And even before the Gita, they say you first read the 42-page introduction several times, isn't it? When I read that introduction, I said, everything is here. And I took a lot of time to understand that. I remember my experience of reading that introduction myself. I said, each of these lines, you know, I have to first, you know, grasp the essence of that first before I can start Dharma Kshetra, Kurukshetra. So I remember at least when I began reading the Gita years ago, at least about three times I read the two to three times at least I read the introduction, because it was very fascinating to me. The concepts were there, were like, they're total novel to me. I did not understand so many things before. I said, no, this is, a lot of stuff is here itself for my brains to ruminate upon, right? So then Prabhupada gave us a long introduction. Most books don't have 42 pages introductions. I mean, I don't know how many printers will tell you. But introduction is usually 2 pages, 3 pages, 5 pages. It may be one of the rare books which has a 42-page introduction. And then, because the subject matter is so heavy for a Kali Yuga mortal, Prabhupada says this is like ABC of spiritual life, or he says it is, you know, undergraduate study and all that. But we don't believe that so much, right? I don't believe that this is for undergraduate. This is like, for me, it is PhD in itself, Gita. I want to talk of Bhagavatam, I want to talk of beyond that. And Gita Govinda is like out of the stratosphere, ionosphere, this beyond, you know, the atmospheric range of my understanding. Right? So therefore, Krishna must be a difficult thing to understand, not thing, person, difficult subject to understand. Why? Why is he so difficult to understand? What makes him so unapproachable? The reason is complete, deep absorption for millions upon millions of lifetimes in matter. Right? When you're only dealing with matter, 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 matter all the time, you can't just think anything beyond matter. Right? So through every body we have lived in, through, even as a spirit soul, We have only dealt with matter in the form of the body given to us by material nature based on our karma. So Dehatma Buddhi is practically our conditioned, I would say, intrinsic nature. Intrinsic nature is to be servant of God, but our conditioned intrinsic nature is Dehatma Buddhi. So even though we evolve through all these species of life and come to the most exalted human platform, that does not seem to leave us. It sort of sticks to you like, you know, like fevicol sticks to you or stick fast or whatever you call it, right? It's such an adhesive, this concept is such an adhesive that it does not get separated from our psyche itself completely. Just even as a body, we have no buddhi. Therefore, every human being in this planet, or 84 lakhs, may say 4 lakhs, practically everyone still lives with this Dehatma Buddhi. Now, having understood this, how do I start understanding Krishna even though I am Dehatma Buddhi? And we'll go further and see how we can evolve this concept. We'll talk about 4 grades of understanding God, 4 levels. One is Dehatma Buddhi. The second level we need to consider in broadening, right? We say Brahmanas are broad-minded. Kripana, Brahmana. Kripana is narrow-minded. So Dehatma Buddhi is Kripana-mindedness, miserly. Because why is it miserly? Why is it Kripana? Because your potential is so high, but you are not able to understand the potential of your spirit soul in the human body. Therefore, you are a Kripana. The potential is unlimited. So then the next level is to understand I'm a part of material nature. So most people who are yogis, gradually moving on, getting some shade of sattva guna over their consciousness, are able to see some light that beyond themselves is a material nature. And therefore they start seeing things a little broadly. So they become nature lovers, they go for hiking, they start preserving trees. They believe, they gradually start moving into preservation of plantations, right? They go into environmental care, right? These are good things. At least they have moved out of the narrow kupamanduk intrinsic Dehatma Buddhi. They started broadening up from the well to at least to a pond. A little larger conception is of understanding comes in, right? And we find there are many people who are like this in this world, and they're considered like nice people who have some civilized concept of life. So then from Dehatma Buddhi comes, I am part of Prakriti. I am part of material nature. Therefore this body is consisting of the 5 elements. So many people who are Ayurvedic doctors, who take, you know, to get involved with medicine, they all incorporate this concept that I am part of Pancha Mahabhut. I am also part of earth, water, fire, air, ether, right? And as this concept becomes more larger, more grows higher, more broader, then you come to understand that beyond material nature is the light. So then you start thinking of Aham Brahmasmi. This is where the yogis have gone beyond, yogis have gone into a higher realm. Very rare for most people to go to this level. Very, very rare. They may talk about it. They may give big lectures. But to understand the oneness of yourself with all life, very, very rare. Rarely you find a yogi having reached the level of truly understanding the oneness of all life. Right? And then if somebody can go beyond that, from Aham Brahmasmi, from Aham Deha or Dehatma Buddhi, to I am Prakriti, to Aham Brahmasmi, and then comes the last stage of Dasosmi. From Aham Brahmasmi, you move on to Dasosmi, that I am a servant of God. Most of us are, when we come to bhakti process, we are exposed suddenly to Dasosmi concept. And we are taught right in the beginning, Jivasrupahaya Krishna Ranta Das. And most of us find it difficult to really grasp the supreme reality without the adhikar of previous training, previous purva karmas, previous samskaras, these background assets not being there with us, within the fold of our backyard, right? We find that this concept, even though it is something which is we hear any day and every day, in every lecture, we are not able to function on that level. We fall very short of this functionality, and it remains a highly intellectual concept. So what is the remedy? How do I really realize what I have been exposed to, this most evolved concept of the bhakti school, and something which is infinitely great and practically nothing there, there's nothing there beyond that. It is the climax, the acme of human evolution. To understand that I am not this body, I am just not part of this material nature, I am not just this light, but I am an individual, singular spirit soul, eternally connected with the absolute truth as his loving servant. That I can achieve him by serving other parts and parcels who are like me. This is the gradual process. Now, for all of us, having understood these four levels, we need to incorporate the bhakti concepts into all these four levels so that we can graduate fast. When we say that, for most of us who are on the level of this body, I am Deha or Dehana Buddhi, how do we bring the concept of bhakti into this? Krishna guides us. So whenever you see power, and we see powerful people in this world, that is me. I am the strength. We see strong people all the time. Right? I was traveling by first class the other day and, you know, trying to fill with my bead bag, sending a few rounds. Right? And just look next door. Somebody sitting next to you. This is what people are doing everywhere, anywhere, wherever you, you know, Bahir Narsingha, Ridhaya Narsingha, like that, you know, wherever you go, wherever you see, people are with mobile, right? This is a universal phenomena. Everyone is, no one's talking, it's complete silence in the compartment. No one's fighting also these days. Fights have come down, you know, kya samajhta nahi, akal nahi hai, that thing has gone now. Because everyone is just absolutely, you know, it's in their own world. They want to hear anybody. Everything, ears are closed, mouth is shut, eyes are wide open. Screen. Right? So I saw somebody was seeing boxing. Somebody had plugged into that. I don't know which country and what. They were like, two people were just heavily pulverizing each other. Hitting so hard. Holding him on his head and banging him on the floor. And the guy was like, finished, you know, and then the floor's done some sign, and again he gets up, and again he starts fighting, and again he's pushed and punched, right? And the guy's like spring, and he just falls and jumps and falls and jumps. He's like, I don't know how agile these guys are. They're so heavy bodied, but they can fall and jump so fast. It's like a completely rubbery body they have got, you know, they can be bent in any form, thrown, punched. And he was enjoying that. I said, what a tamasic enjoyment. To enjoy somebody being beaten. Huh? And everyone is cheering, yeah, yeah, everyone around is like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyway, when I look at it back, there is nothing much enjoyable for me over there. Huh? But this is what it is. Where does strength come from? The strength of the elephant, the speed of the whale and the shark to move fast. Right? I am the intelligence of the intelligent. Right? So many intelligent people come across sometimes. Brilliant brains. They can understand, they can grasp, they can talk, they can decipher, they can analyze, they can judge, they can give solutions. Where does all this brain come from? They try to dissect into Einstein's brain and see if it was something little different than other people's brains. How did this guy understand the most secretive part of nature? The oneness of energy and mass.
How mass comes into energy when it starts floating at the velocity of light. How could he understand this? Nobody understood before him this stuff, right? So he had to put, it seems they preserved his brain to understand, but his brain was not like any others, but his brain, the same neurons, everything was there. It did come from his brain. As simple as that. It came from the Lord in the heart. I am the intelligence of the intelligent. It is not coming from Einstein's brain. It's coming from Krishna through Einstein's brain. It is not a product of the brain. It is coming through. Right? Just like wire has to come. Electricity is not born of the wire. It comes through the wire. Right? But it doesn't come from the bulb. It comes through the bulb. So the brain is like the bulb. However fascinating the bulb may look. Brilliant light. But it's not coming from there. It's coming from somewhere else. Right? So the brainy fellows here in this world are like the bulbs who are glowing. But when the switch is shut off by Krishna, when the bulb is there, the brain is still there, but it doesn't work. Right? So for devotees like ourselves who are evolving the process of Krishna consciousness, when we see vastness, power, when we see beautiful things, and we get fascinated, and we should be fascinated. We're not like dull, stone, impersonalist. It's all Maya. It's all Maya. Maya. We want to appreciate beauty. We should. Right? But we should see it as a spark of Krishna's splendor. And then there is no harm in appreciating beauty. As long as you see its connection with Krishna. When you go on flights, sometimes you see some flights are mostly quite boring, right? You sleep or you chant or you just doze off or you just space out. Right? But if you happen to just see outside on the flight, then you see, and you know, flights go at about 37,000 feet beyond mean sea level. It's quite a high thing. And then you see an ocean, not a water now, you see an ocean of clouds. Till as far as you can see, there's a thick layer and you're going up just about the, and just below you are just infinitely to the horizon are just a thick, beautiful mat, like you have and you walk. Let's say in Hindi movies, and Narad Muni walks to the floats, the you almost see, maybe Narad Muni is around somewhere. Right? So you just see a floating large mass. It's an ocean of clouds. Right? That is Krishna revealing something so beautiful. Prabhupada said this. I was hearing a class a few days back. He said, this is Krishna's mystic power. Now when you have to store water, you have to use a Syntex tank. Right? And a big castle building will have, you know, you have to pump water from down. There's a motor there which has to pump 20 floors, 100 floors, whatever these big floors, skyscraper building. You have to pump it up and you store it somewhere high there and then you have to bring it down. Right? When Krishna has to store water for human beings, for all life to sustain, how does Krishna store? No tanks. In the same water, he just puts his mystic potency into that. And the same water becomes gas. Same H2O in the liquid form, the same H2O in the gaseous form. That's all. When it becomes gas, gas by nature has to float. So that gas starts floating. And then Krishna just holds it there, you know, for the whole year. Right? And the right season comes, it gets loaded with another mystic power of the Lord and becomes heavy and comes down. And in Lonavala Khandala, you'll find the same clouds which are at 37,000 feet high. They'll come at 2,000 feet high. They'll just float through Lonavala Khandala and Matheran, Mahabaleshwar. They just float. They're loaded with that mystic potency which brings them down. Right? And the same water from the ocean now flows into the fields and everywhere else. This is Krishna's storage mechanism to store unlimited quantities of water of the ocean floating in the sky effortlessly. Nobody's holding it there. Syntax tank, you have to hold it. Something has to hold this. Krishna can just make it float. Prabhupada's beautiful explanation of Krishna's mystic power. So when you see vastness, when you see that vastness of the sky, a devotee thinks of, even though he's in his body, but because he's so small, when he sees vast clouds, vast sky, vast ocean, and when he feels small, you feel small.
in front of the gigantic proportions which you see in front of you. That's how we start understanding Krishna as a part of material nature. When lightning is there, thunderstorm is there, clouds are there, rainfall is there, right? When even there are tsunamis and tornadoes, still a devotee can understand Krishna. Like Prabhupada was seeing bombs falling, and he was seeing death, right? He was frying puris, right? So pure devotee can see Krishna even in such situations. And because we are not pure, we learn, we need to see and things like a pure devotee. The pure devotee is revealed to us how they think, and we are supposed to follow in their footsteps. Not artificially, but we start understanding like that. The vastness of Krishna's glory. The sun. Right? And when you see the sun, now we don't look at the sun, right? If we are looking at the sun, there would not be any vitamin D deficiency in this world. But practically everybody in this world, devotees, non-devotees, all of us, everybody, massive, rampant, universal vitamin D deficiency. There is absolutely no connection with the sun. No connection with Krishna. Krishna Surya Sama. Right? No connection with Krishna, no connection with Krishna, Surya Sama, no Surya also, right? But vastness of God again. It is Krishna. It is Surya Narayana. Right? But what is the sun? When we say that we are part of that light, the third stage of light, and look at the sun, it is that light. Prabhupada explains what is the sun. The sun, just like you have a mirror. Astronomy used to play this convex lenses we used to have, and you would get sun rays and, you know, then focus it here. And I remember myself doing it as a small child, burning paper with that. It would have a concentrated flame of light, and then you could burn paper, and paper actually would burn. There would be a flame in the paper. And I spend much of my vacation sometimes doing crazy things like that, burning paper, or, you know, holding it and putting in people's eyes, or, you know, people's windows, and, you know, all this nonsense when you're a young fellow, right? But it is, the sun is just the perfect convex lens for absorbing the infinity of the Brahma Jyoti, which is beyond the Viraja. So the blue colored sky is Krishna's Abha. All of us have an aura around us, what they call technically as the biofield energy around you. The biofield energy around you is coming around you, or around every leaf, or around any object, because it comes from Krishna, who has also his energy around him. Yasya prabha prabhavato jagadanda koti. That is Krishna's prabha, prabhavato, jagadanda koti, that flows through all the universes. Right? And because Krishna is that neelamani, the sky also is blue. Why not red? Why not green? Why not Ram's color? Why not Narsingdev's color? They are also gods, supreme gods, right? But the original personality of God, it is Krishna. Therefore, Krishna imbues himself, the whole creation, with his own color practically. The whole sky is absorbed in his color. The Brahma Jyoti is that color. And when the Brahma Jyoti actually flows into this world in the form of the sun, the sun is the reflected energy of Brahma Jyoti in this world. When you look at the sun, it's a beautiful meditation for every devotee, for every yogi, for every spiritualist. It's just a great meditation. Vitamin D is just a small thing. But the real thing is to look at the sun and think of Krishna. That's why we chant the Gayatri Mantra also, to meditate on the sun. Savita Turvarenyam. Savita is the sun. Right? So in this way, every devotee, even though we can become Atan Mahigna, we can begin to understand Krishna's true glories even by living in this Dehatma Buddhi. And we can still evolve, even with this bodily because we can evolve in our understanding of Krishna's glory. And of course, when you really go beyond that, or not, I would not say beyond that, because there's nothing like beyond, it's all inclusive. We have to keep on that thing, whatever is there is there. It's not that we keep on going and losing the lower things. It becomes more and more inclusive, in fact, rather than exclusive. Right? As you go, as you evolve further, then you understand, wow, can I get a chance to serve this person? He's so great. See, power always elicits service responses.
There's a powerful person around you. Even with a celebrity. May not be really powerful, but just because he's powerful because of his being a celebrity. Automatically people around him start, you see people in manual start, sab pani lage do, kya lage do? They open his door for his car or, you know, they want to do something for him. Either betty. They will make him sit down. They will start. Power almost always elicits because of our intrinsic nature to serve. So because we don't understand Krishna's power, when you see power manifest in any celebrity or sportsman, boxer, lawyer, doctor, this, that, X, Y, Z, rich financial person, CEO of a company, anybody comes and says, you want to start serving that person automatically, is it not? We have seen that. You may not even know that person. You know who that person is? That person is the CEO of, Infosys. That's right. You think, you know, if you sat my pan, you look like ordinary fellow, you know. You know what? So immediately our bhav changes. Why? Because power elicits a desire to serve. Automatically. When you see a beautiful person, you want to serve him. Right? If you see a beautiful lady, people, all the men around start thinking, can I do something for this lady? Right? So that's our nature. When you see power, when you see beauty, when you see intelligence, somebody gives a great oratory lecture and said, people are going to say, wow, can I get a phone number? You want to get connected to him, right? When somebody gives a beautiful presentation, something extraordinary thing, some big slideshow or some massive concept, some avishkar, some discoveries revealed, some scientific world, my conference, when somebody speaks, you say, sir, can I have a mobile? Sir, can I email you? Can I dash with you? Can I ask you some questions? Immediately, you want to really get connected and learn. You just feel humbled by that, right? Imagine what is the power of Krishna, and that will manifest in this story as you go. I will not talk this story now because we leave it the suspense to come up to unfold in the next 9 verses. But there is something beautiful upcoming here now, right? So when we understand Krishna's glory in this way, and then we understand, I am supposed to be servant of Krishna, then we will serve him with that true mood of reverential love. We have to go through Aishwarya Bhav to then move on to the Madhurya Bhav. We cannot jump to Madhurya Bhav. It will be total Sahajaism. We cannot dare do that and lose, make a big fallacy of our bhakti by jumping into Vrindavan, which is, if Indra cannot understand Krishna and Vrindavan, if Brahma cannot understand Krishna and Vrindavan, you think you and I can understand Krishna and Vrindavan? The answer is definitely no. So when you use this gradual evolutionary process of understanding Krishna through this Dhyanabuddhi, through the lens of your limited consciousness, by opening your heart to these higher realms of reality, of Krishna's creation, Krishna's glory, Krishna's vastness, Krishna's power, Krishna's potency. And Prabhupada said so nicely, he said, everyone can paint, right? I mean, of course, not everyone can paint, but I mean, if we can paint something, you can take a brush, take a canvas, take a paper or something and paint. Prabhupada says this, can anyone paint in the sky? Which brush will have paint? Prabhupada said, look at the rainbow. Prabhupada is so beautiful when he talks about these concepts, right? Because we can connect to Prabhupada's words, and otherwise all these things sometimes seem so high. But said, Krishna can paint in the sky, and throw us a rainbow. And it is such a beautiful creation of Krishna. Monsoon, you know, sometimes the rainbow comes when sun and the moon, sun. And the, you know, we are doctors, the scientists will have the understanding. But the refraction of light, each drop acts as a prism of light. And like, you know, you have a ray of light coming in, then you have come out. So then they will speculate and say, okay, that may be true, right? But then why can't you do it? Why can't you do it? Right? If you know what it is, and why can't you do it? You know what life is, you know, create it from the cell. Create a cell, show me. You know, all this genetic engineering stuff is there. Okay, all great, fine, ticket. Make a cell and show me. No, that we cannot do. So then Prabhupada just smashes them like that. But Krishna can paint in the sky. And it's just beautiful colors, always the same order. Oh, it's not, this time red is before green and yellow is afterwards. It's always the same patterns. So nice. Different sizes. Stays for a while, 15-20 minutes. People start shooting, you know, photographs. And you know, it is just Krishna's beauty. Right? So in this way, we devotees can
begin to appreciate Krishna, not just in the deity form, which we must, but in order to appreciate him in the deity form, we also, because what is bhakti? What is Krishna consciousness? Krishna consciousness is appreciating Krishna. What is that verse? It said, when you see the truth, you will know that everything is part of me and I'm. What is that verse? Bhagavad Gita? Not Bhunam Janmante. Sarvam Pashati. Right. Correct. Right? So, when you see Krishna in everything and everything in Krishna, that is bhakti. Bhakti is very beautiful to understand. Everything is in Krishna and Krishna is in everything. That is the holistic understanding of bhakti. And our chanting of rounds and reading of scriptures and our sadhana bhakti and all should bring us to a level where we can understand Krishna in everything, including the glass of water we drink every day, which we just forget to do. We drink 2 liters of water every day and not one glass reminds of Krishna, because when you think thanda hai kya, garam hai kya, usually we go into our conception is ki thanda nahi hai, mixer ke leke aao, ye karke leke aao, limu dal ke leke aao, sarbat bana ke leke aao. We miss a chance to get the taste of water because we're looking at sarbat or something. So in the day we totally dhyana buddhi, our tongue has to get ratified. Are, but theek hai, that's fine. But if we can, through the sarbat, through that, you know, we can think of this is Krishna, the taste of water is Krishna, right? So we can really evolve to understand Krishna at every phase. The air we breathe is Krishna also, right? In that sense, without being Mayavadis, we can say everything is Krishna. We won't be Mayavadis if you talk like that. Everything is Krishna, because everything is Krishna's energy, and energy and energetic cannot be separated out, right? There is a sense of oneness between the energy and energetic, right? Let's say you cannot separate out the sunshine from the sun, right? So in this way, we can move on to understand Krishna's glory. And then when we hear these pastimes of Krishna's beautiful pastimes of Vrindavan, then our heart swells in joy. It is this Lord who is so great, so fantastic, so magnanimous, so grandiose, so splendorous, so infinitely great. Atan mahigna. When we understand Krishna in that glory, then when he performs an act like stealing butter, and then when he starts stealing the clothes of some ladies, and then when he starts showing his mouth containing the universe inside, it's wow. Then that pastime really hits us in the right place in our heart. It is this Lord who is showing the whole universe in his mouth, which is 1 inch by 1 inch small. Right? Otherwise the pastime you just read it becomes a child's story. Krishna has put his mouth, and there's not mud inside of Krishna. Very good. But for a devotee, then that, oh, my Lord is so wonderful. Then that comes. Right? Then we can appreciate Vrindavan, because you have already going through the Aishwarya Bhav, then going into Vrindavan Bhav. Then there's a gradual, systematic, organic growth of your understanding of Krishna's glory. Right? So that's the evolutionary process which Prabhupada systematically through this, all his books, through all his lectures, is teaching us, so that we can have a very wholesome, very grounded, very scientific also, non-sentimental, strongly based on reality and truth, we can see Krishna everywhere. In all that you do, in all that you say, in all that you hear, in all that we will find Krishna everywhere. And that's the perfection of Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Any comments? Comment, please. Welcome. Anandan Prabhu is today not in a questioning mode. Please, can you all, everyone clap, please? Today he's not asking any question. This is the first time I'm hearing something like that. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. This is an incident that has happened in my life before 20 years back. Mm-hmm. And this has made me so completely understanding who is Krishna. Mm-hmm. I was being invited by Reliance Industries company, who has one of the biggest plant in Jamnagar. They have a petrochemical plant, and they selected from all over India some 100 stockbrokers to come and visit the plant, to see the plant And it is one of the biggest plant in, this is the second biggest plant in the world. The area of the plant is from Dadar to Varli. From Dadar to, what is that? Kolaba. Dadar to Kolaba is the area, that is the plant's size. And when I went to see the plant, we were 100 brokers, we went to see the plant. When I went to see the plant, it is on the bank of the sea of Jamnagar. So, and 50,000 people were working on the plant to erect it out. Everywhere, it was a, such a massive way the plant was being constructed. So at that time, they asked. I asked them that, from where you are bringing the water? Because Jamnagar is very, very scarcity of water over there. And so for building a plant, you need so much water for it. So I asked him, from where are you bringing the water? So they said that there is a biggest problem about the water over here is because we don't get a plant water. Although we are on the bank of the sea, yet we don't get a clean water. It is all salty water. So they tried to bring water from all the places, but it was so less. And it was finding it difficult to cover the quantity of water they wanted, that much they were not getting it. So finally what they did was, they made one project, they made one plant and they made one project which was costing 400 crore rupees at that time, which will be right now around something like more than 2000 crore rupees. And the plant main business was to collect the water from the sea and make it a salty water to a pure water.
Desalination. Yeah.
So that plant was costed at that time 400 crore rupees, which is around right now 2000 crore rupees. So what I, for my eagerness, I went, I wanted to taste that water. Because I wanted to see that, what was the difference. He said, it's just like a distillery water. There'll be, you will not feel it, the difference in the water, what it was, it is a salty water. So they were collecting the water from the sea and they were changing it into pure water. And from that water, the water was being supplied to all the full plant. When I went and seen that water, the way they are changing it from salty water to main water, clean water, I was shocked. I could see it. For a small plant and machinery to be built up, we have to spend 400 crore rupees to make a salty water to a pure water. Krishna, who is making us all the salty water into pure rain, without any salt into it, and we are not paying a single penny for that. So, this made me completely understanding the value that who Krishna is. What Krishna consciousness is and how Krishna great is. We don't understand the value of it. And the way these people are working, to make it a pure water, they have to spend so much.
And that is for the one plant. Krishna is doing it for the whole creation.
Correct.
Whole creation, Indra Loka, Chandra Loka, all lokas are getting the same water which you and I are getting, right? Jai Ho.
Hari Bol.
Sri Krishna Bhagavan ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.